Somebody died. B minus.
Mm-hmm. Bad songwriting.
One day, I was smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and upload it to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deranged Penguin. I guess we already have a theme. I can't really add another theme to it. Deranged Penguin Podcast. Anyway. Deranged Penguin Podcast. This time we're not hashtag Dell. He's here. He made
we
his
are
way.
Yeah.
We are Dell. So yeah, he took a week off. Personal family issues. I guess all family issues are personal, right? Is that how that works?
I still maintain
that we were consistent. Last week, I was harassed. Much like our president Donald Trump is harassed by fake news and dishonest media, I was harassed and made to believe that we were not consistent. How about today? Sally Yates just owning. She just dunked all over. She like, you know, Vince Carter dunked all over Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz is an embarrassment to the state of Texas. And so is John Cornyn. Yeah. John Cornyn tried to do that. I'm so disappointed in you. I really expected better. And she's like, oh, yeah? Well, I was just defending the Constitution, son. Dunking his face, you know? It was just great. It was great. You guys see every small victories. Shout out to Sally Yates. An exemplar of what a public servant should be.
I think that we're a consistent podcast.
There you go. Thanks, Dell. Thanks.
Just because we end up having things come up and we miss a week here and there doesn't make us inconsistent.
No, man.
Inconsistent would be like, yeah, like we get together and do like four podcasts in a week, and then 8 months later we come back and we're like, oh, we should podcast again. Yeah, and we do
pretty regular. Like at any time there was a recent show that you can rely on. You're like, hey, Adam, you still doing that podcast? I get that question all the time, which makes me know for sure that these assholes are not listening to the show, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you still do that podcast? Yeah. You would know if you were checking it out, you know what I mean? It would be real easy. Like, yeah, you're still doing it. I know, I listen. But we still get compliments. And I feel like Donald Trump saying it. Like, so many people tell me, they come up to me and tell me, you're doing a great job. It's a great podcast. So entertaining. Amazing. The best.
This is the best podcast. Huge success.
Huge. So many people.
Huge.
So many people tell me it's the greatest show. So, Dell, I mean, what did you think about over the last 2 weeks?
What did I think about?
Yeah, did you listen to our show?
I listened to it today because I got a random Slack notification about doing 100 meters, timing 100 meters for the podcast tomorrow. I was like, what?
What the hell happened when I was gone?
Is that running or is that swimming or is that like climbing 100 meter rope?
Can I just take the time right now to kind of explain that? We did talk about it at the end of last week's show, and
I got to there.
Yeah, most people don't ever listen to the end. So, like, towards the end of this episode, that's when we start saying wild and crazy shit. Like, just, you know, just like
the best time. Y'all should listen.
Yeah, we're like more drunk, more sleepy. Like, crazy shit gets said at the end of the show. But we did say, Gina was saying that she wants to time herself on the 100 meters. And we were looking up various times. Like, what is the world record for the 100 meter dash? Go back and listen. We discussed it. I won't say at length, but we gave it some time. So we're all going to time ourselves, and we're just trying to imagine what that would be. And I think everyone here is going to get like 40 seconds because I don't think you guys are going to finish. You're going to fall, dude. Pass out for 10 seconds and get up and continue.
I'm going to get faster than...
You did it?
You've done it?
Yeah.
You did it this weekend?
Don't tell us what you got, but tell us, did you break 40 seconds?
I broke 40 seconds.
I don't believe that.
By a hair. No, I mean, I don't. I think I need to redo it on a track, though, because I used my phone to tell me like, what 100 meters was.
Phone's not.
And then I had somebody time me on that. And there's no way it's accurate. Like, it was way too. There's no way I was that fast.
It was like 982.
It wasn't like a world class time or anything like that. It wasn't even like a collegiate athlete time, but I know it's still too fast. there's no way I did this time. So yeah, I need to go to a track.
Yeah, you ran 100 feet. I think is what happened.
Did you? You had it set to Imperial, right?
Well, I had it set to kilometer. I said to kilometers.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no way it's accurate. It was on doing a kilometer. Yeah,
so we one of our problems, we're going around driving around because we played soccer this Sunday. We're going around trying to find a track that's open. Now all the schools are like chained up. You can't get in there. So it was at the end of soccer. We didn't really feel like jumping a fence. You know, we're adults here. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, oh, this is a bad look if they catch me trespassing at the local elementary school track, right? So
you're gonna be on the evening news.
Yeah, so I think we're gonna kind of have to schedule it. I know at least one school near here has the track open. I don't know if it's a regulation track, like it's circular, but it might be
regulation.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, we just got to figure out. Hey, is this 100 meters? Can we sprint this? And then it's fine. And then we just need to know that. So we know it's like a regulation, you know, track that they use for competitions and stuff. Then we know, and they have the markings, right? Like this is the 100 meter sprint. So definitely by the next podcast, we should know how slow we are.
So if I go run it every day for the next 2 weeks, can I just take my fastest time?
Yeah, you do whatever you want. I mean. Right. You can perform. You can do whatever you want, but you gotta reveal. You know what I mean? You can't just be like, "Yeah, it turns out 987." Yes, I trained with world class. Yeah. Yes, I was sitting on Usain Bolt's back as he ran it for me. You know, like you gotta tell us how it happened.
Yeah, we'll do it.
I mean, that's
speaking
a good
of track times. God, man, I was upset for the guy who was trying to run the sub-2 marathon. Did you see this guy?
I heard about it. He missed out by like 10 seconds or something?
25 seconds, man. Gah.
That's rough.
That is so fast.
Yeah.
So fast.
That's almost sprinting the whole way.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
It's amazing what humans can do, right? Like the best of us. You see that and you're like, wow, look at this guy lifted 5,000 pounds. Look at this guy going to space. Look at this guy running for 2 hours straight. And then there's like the
majority
rest
of us. Yeah. That guy still sitting on his couch. Still there.
Eight straight days sitting on his couch.
Right. World record.
God.
Well, so in the last couple of weeks, my great aunt passed away, who was kind of like a surrogate mom to my mom. And, my mom was kind of her caretaker, main caretaker in the last bit of her life. But it was really, you know, it was expected, so it wasn't too bad. Strangely or serendipitously, all the cousins, the extended family, except for one, was able to come, like on a dime, on a moment's notice. And so we got to spend, and probably, we've gotten together every couple of Thanksgivings, and probably... this is the most legit time that we've gotten to spend together in a long time. And it was awesome. They came over, a bunch of them came over to our house after, and we cooked burgers and just hung out and drank beer and stuff. And it was kind of, I was wondering a little bit at the end, because she had been kind of like the linchpin that kind of held us all together. We would all go to her house for Thanksgiving and see everybody, and everybody lives in Colorado, Missouri, Kentucky, all over the country now. So I was kind of wondering if this was like the last time we were all going to get together or whatever. But it was ended up being an amazing time, and everybody was expressing how much they didn't want that to happen and committed to like getting together and spending time together and continuing the tradition. It was awesome to watch, inspiring. And so, yeah, it was really cool, really good time to spend.
Yeah, I think one of the strange things, I guess, in any family, right? I was actually going to compare it to a corporation. That's how, I guess, awful I am. you gotta think about succession planning. You know, who's gonna take over the? But I mean, that's one of the things that I don't think anybody really prepares you for. Like, there are so many roles in a family, right? Like Brad, for example, is the asshole. Who's gonna be an asshole to that level in his family?
He's gonna hate Asians as much as he does.
Yeah. Just depravity bursting at the seams. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, but there's always some people that take that role, right? Like the one that brings everybody together, or the one that remembers everybody's birthday. Like I ask my grandma all the time. Like, all right, I'll just quiz her randomly, and just like, all right, cousin Matthew, right? His kid. When's that kid's birthday? She's like, oh well, January 27th. And 2 days later is yeah. I'm like, God, I should know everybody just off the top of her head. It's crazy. I don't even know those people's names. You know what I mean? I just start naming them. I just point to a branch on a tree. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you lose somebody there, it's kind of hard. Some people reluctantly step into those roles. Or like kind of like, oh, I don't want to host Thanksgiving dinner or be that person. And they don't feel like it's fair to be pressed into those. I don't know. I don't feel like we've ever had conversations about it. It's not something you really talk about anyway, family. Like, well, who's going to be the new grandpa?
Right.
It's weird. Do you ever feel like pressed to be, like, what's your dad's role? And you feel like pressed to be?
Mine?
Yeah.
My dad's role?
Yeah, what's your dad do? It's like TV. Somebody's got to watch it, TV.
Be the comic relief.
I think what's helpful is that a lot of people are like their parents or like very similar to the family, so then you kind of fit in. You're like, yeah, well, you know, yeah. Somebody's probably mean and you know, like Brad, and they're like, you know,
my dad's a loose cannon that you're never really sure if you want him, like, because you don't know how it could be awesome, but it could be completely embarrassing for himself.
It could be devastating for the rest of the event.
Yeah, and make everybody feel super uncomfortable.
I was talking about your dad, Dale, not yourself.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I guess. Yeah. I hope I have a little bit more social graces than that, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, so we had kids' birthday party at a beer garden, as promised. Everybody was still kind of like, really having it here, huh? I said, yes, we are right now having it. This is time. I mean, I recommend it to those of you who are sans kid, and you're like, where should, especially if it's the first kid. I mean, because you have like, you know, third or fourth kid, there's going to be other kids. Maybe it's not so easy to do that. But for me at least, for us at least, and Gina's not here, it was like, more of a kind of a, hey, remember last year when you were in extreme pain and I was just kind of sitting by idly and trying to be helpful? Like, do you want the yogurt now or nope, pillow? Ooh. All right, well, I'm going to sit here and look pretty useless.
Keep watching games.
I know. Yeah, Gina was joking about that. She was like, yeah, I remember you were watching the Spurs game. I was like, yeah, it was game two. Spurs lost that game. I was like, ah, dang. Like, you know. I was like, ah, it was Gina. And I was like, oh, yeah, you saw him miss it? God, it was so clean. He missed a bunny. It was an easy layup. Come on. yeah, so for us, it was more about that. It was more like, hey, do you remember the huge time in our life when you went through a gigantic moment, very stressful, you know, 24, 48 hours? And also the kid that's here. So it was kind of like that. And other people, it was more for them to, like, pass around the kid and,
yeah,
feeded things inappropriately. Just more chocolate. More like,
I 100% agree with you, Adam. There you go. For the first birthday, maybe even first two birthdays, you can sneak in like just total adult venue, like total adult, you know, party basically, and there just happens to be a kid there. Even now that I'm coming up on 5 next month for one of my kids, it's just now like starting to turn into a kid party.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first year that I think we've done like kid parties.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because like you can ask your kid what day it is and then they will respond with the correct day. Like within.
Right.
Like, hey, what day of the year is it? And, today's March, May 9th, Dad. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Guess I have to have your birthday party.
Yes, we got to have a birthday party for you.
All right, let's cancel the bar and then we're going to do the Chuck E. Cheese.
Fuck. I don't ever want to go to a Chuck E. Cheese. I haven't been in one yet. I don't want to break my streak. God.
We've been a couple.
And all I wanted fine. To go to now is
yeah, I know.
Kid. And an adult.
Right now, and that's why I have this creepy stash.
We used to go before Patty Murphy.
Really?
Yeah.
That was probably the cleanest Chuck E. Cheese in the world over there on 55, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't remember it too much, but
yeah.
You went there.
Nope, never been to a Chuck E. Cheese. I've loved it. I've never been one. I hate going to birthday parties at places for kids because they just jam all the adults into this tiny space and it's like a petting zoo for people. You know, you're just stuck in there and you're like
somebody's gonna come back with, you know, strep throat after that. That's what's gonna happen.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's gonna be sick because somebody showed up because they just couldn't miss the bowling alley, you know, with their 3-year-old. Like, listen, like, 3-year-old ain't bowling anyway. Like, just take it easy. But, you know, it's like the employees don't want to be there. It's some, like, 18-year-old kid, and he's like, here's a fucking sheet cake. Here's your lemonade. Your stupid birthday cup. Get out of here. You know, he's rude, and the place is, like, poorly lit. And I don't know. It's just like a horror movie for children to me.
Yeah, I mean, really like it's always stuff. Risky relying on a teenager to do quality things at all. Just, I mean, yeah. It's hit or miss.
Anything, yeah.
I mean, I felt like I was a good employee at the local grocery when I was a teenager, but that's depending on the day. You know, I was not giving 100% because I was like, fuck this place, man. You know?
Yeah.
And I was one of the better ones. You know, it's yeah. I can't even blame them for it. I'm like, yeah.
You showed up.
Yeah. That's you are automatically get a B+ for that, you know?
Pretty much.
Just don't actively ruin the food. Yeah. Just, you know, don't spit in it, put any other juices in it, and we'll call it a win. I agree, and I think that's why, I mean, Dell. Are there a lot of kids, like all those family members? I don't like knowing that all your family is like spread across the United States. I feel like we should get the CDC involved. But just yeah, we've in Colorado and Indiana and Mississippi and Texas uncle, now.
My great uncle lives in San Antonio, man. Oh,
great. They're everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
Was it like, I mean, did they all bring like their children? Do they have a lot of children?
They do, but they didn't. It was pretty much only the adults and mostly not even their wives. Only a couple of families brought their wives, or a couple of cousins. It was cool. It was also really neat to see afterwards, like which ones kind of are wanting to step into that role of like keeping it going, keeping things together. It's all the second kids. And I think that's a thing, man. Like I was like, that makes sense. Cause like all of us firstborns are like ultra independent, like whatever, we'll just do our own thing sort of thing. And we like hanging out, but we could take it or leave it. Like, you know, yeah. Like I love seeing those dudes. I enjoy being with them, but I'm probably never going to actively be like, oh my gosh, if we don't, it's just like the end of the world, you know? Right. And right. Jeff cares a lot about that, and the second cousin, the second born of the world family, who's the other main family, are also like, yeah. So,
Yeah, you know, I think oddly enough, I think for me, it's me. I'm the one kind of doing that in my family. I don't know. It's just more like.
Are you the second?
No.
The oldest?
Yeah, I'm the eldest. Because
you're the. Well, you're old, but so.
I mean, I don't know what it is. It's like, I don't know. I think there's something to that. Gina and I were talking about that before. Like, how kind of, I don't know how much it plays in birth order, but it's more like people reacting to circumstances, and there are only so many ways to react to a circumstance, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of them. You know, there are people like, well, second born, so they always, it's like, well, it's just more people in a situation, and there are billions, there are literally billions of people. And there's only so many ways to react to having an older brother, you know? So
right.
Yeah, sure. A lot of people have chosen to react a certain way. It isn't, yeah. I think there is something kind of to it. Well, I was getting at.
Well, they also grew up, you know, there was already a group of people there when they were growing up. So that's what they know, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, for a long time, it was just me and Micah, or just me, you know?
Yeah. So you're kind of used to that, yeah. It's not a crisis if it's just you again.
Right.
Brad, are you the what order are you? Were you the mistake?
I don't know.
Did you cause a shotgun wedding?
You don't know what.
Did you cause a shotgun wedding, or were you the the later edition?
I was in the middle. My twin brothers were older, and then I have a younger sister.
Yeah.
So
you were like the sequel. They're like, yeah, maybe it's not so bad. You were not like the late money grab for the grandparents.
Not the accident.
Right. But I mean, as far as like keeping the family together, I don't really know where I fit into that, because I mean, I moved out here to be closer to family. I think that I'm.
We do the Arrested Development. I made a big mistake.
No, I mean, it's, you know. It's but I mean, since I've been here, I don't feel like I'm actively filling that role. I feel like one of my brothers is a little bit more proactive about maintenance of relationships in the family, and just really eager to fill that role, which I'm not against that. I've just sort of prioritized other things ahead of that.
I think twins threw the whole thing off. Like, twins creepy. Are like,
yeah, they're creepy.
The outlier. Nobody trusts them.
Do you really trust your twin brothers, the brothers up there being twin? It's creepy, man. They have their own secrets, you know? They can pull the switcheroo. They pull the switcheroo on you, and you don't know. You know what I mean?
You don't. There's know. Also yeah. the
There's don't also trust them with a clone, man.
The dynamics of your extended family changed a good bit right after you came too, right?
Yeah.
So that probably that would cause anybody to kind of like step back and be like, well, I'm gonna do my family,
you know, my immediate family.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think there's a different, there's a lot of norms there, right? I mean, because even, you know, you're talking about all the second levels there, all the number twos are all like, well, we should keep it going. There's something to kind of aspire to. I think there's some value in not having that, because you can kind of create it almost from whole cloth. You know what I mean? There's not like this pressure to be like, well, you know, for two generations, we've been coming to the farmhouse in North Carolina for Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's what we do, you know? Like, if you don't have that, then you're just like, well, what if we go to Hawaii? You know what I mean? You can kind of create it, make it.
Yeah.
Make it unique, and that's kind of cool. And I think, I don't know if we have a whole lot of like traditions. My mom likes to say we're informal. And I think, and I was like, I think that's cool sometimes, but then it's kind of bad because we don't really have something to kind of hang on to that we all really believe in, like, the same way. I think there is also value into having the farmhouse to always go to. So for my part, I've just kind of been like, I just think it's silly to kind of create things, because I also think the traditions are silly. So, I mean, when I try to do things, when I say I'm like more towards pushing things like that, I'm like, let's all say have a big party at the end of May every year, and we'll just do that. So we're kind of forcing that to happen, and I also know it's just me doing it. Like, come on, Mom, Dad, cousins, uncles, all these people will go have a big barbecue. As we rent a spot in the park. And I'd much rather that, Brad, as you know, you're talking about Chuck E. Cheese. I think it's cool using the public facilities because, like, it's super cheap. You rent it for, like, $15. Nobody bothers you. Like, and you're like, hey, look, nature. There's, like, a tree out here. You guys know we had trees and stuff?
I love that stuff, man. I'm with you.
Yeah, and so, and again, I know it's silly and it's reactionary for me because I know other friends and things are like, yeah, I grew up on a farm. I'm not fascinated by trees. I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a tree. Fucking tree. It's cool shit. I think people generally don't take advantage of a lot of parks and stuff. Like, your local park, just the one that's there that's been around for 50 years, the tax money goes to, and they send a guy to go cut the grass and pick up trash and stuff. I know a lot of people, like, I mean, you can use those for, like, weddings and things, but people are like, oh, well, I just, you know, I'm in a hotel ballroom or all this other stuff. You can go to the park. It's almost as nice. And if you put a little effort into it, yeah, you get some good value for your money there. Yeah.
One of my favorite things about Denton was that there were neighborhood parks. Mm-hmm. There wasn't just, like, the town I grew up in, there was one park, and you had to drive 10 minutes to get to it or 15 minutes to get to it. Denton, you could pretty much walk 10 minutes in any direction, and you would get to a park. You'd be at a park, you know? And I used them a lot. I loved it. It was nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of silly. I do that worker bee thing where you kind of sometimes, like, once or twice out the week, you maybe grab lunch and go sit in the parking lot someplace just to eat it, to kind of get away from everybody. Maybe you just want to go sit in the Chick-fil-A. But then I just, like, this is kind of silly for me to do this in the parking lot of the mall. So we went to, like, a park and just sat in the park. And we're like, yeah, it's nice. It's a park.
Yeah.
And, you know, the small ones, it's fine. It's also not trespassing, you know? You're not
saying. Yeah.
and
like, how again, European of you, man.
Yeah, no. Again, it sounds silly to say because, like, 100 years ago, that was, like, was it de rigueur? You know, you just, you would take your lunch and go sit in a park and eat it. But lots of people do it in other cities. Adam, what are you talking about? So I know, I realize how silly I sound, but, you know. There it is.
I would love to go eat lunch in a park. Like, I would pay money to go eat lunch in a park every day. That sounds amazing.
You would have to do it at 2 in the morning, man. That sounds kind of scary.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's closed, and you're not going to get the kind of attention you want.
Yeah, the experience is not going to be quite the same.
That's fine. Public parks. And then they're little kind of I think the San Antonio public parks are, generally speaking, well-maintained. I mean, you go there and there's, like, one thing kind of busted or, you know, like, something's kind of old. But then you realize, you know, this park's been here since 1899. It's not in bad shape. And generally speaking, they're well-funded. I think they passed a big bond package to give them more funding. And that's good. I mean, I'd rather get taxed than to go to that than something silly. This is Adam and the Deranged Penguin Podcast for public parks.
Go not sit a one, sponsor.
Yeah, go sit in one near you. So, let's see. The other thing we had on the list of things to talk about. I know some people are like, God, last week's fucking urban renewal. This week, public parks. What the fuck kind of podcast is this shit, guys?
We're basically NPR.
Yeah, no, right. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention, Del? Do you have any reaction or feedback to last week?
To your podcast? Or our podcast that I was not there?
Yeah.
I was just felt the whole time. I had so many opinions. I was like, man, I really have something to say. But then y'all would be like, I wish Del were here because he would say blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much it. So I don't even have to be. I don't feel like I need to be here. Y'all can just insert.
We have a good sense
of color commentary. Yeah. Into this spot. The whole urban planning thing. Man, I had something really thoughtful today. When I was listening to it. Let me see if I can recall it. Mostly just the problem of compartmentalizing. We've talked about this before, of like having whole districts of that where you can only, it's zoned only for residential buildings, you know? Yeah. And so you have huge swaths of land or property that can only be residential, and you can't have, so you can't create those pockets of community. And the things that have happened in big, big cities like New York is they came up in an early enough time where it was essentially, it was one city, but it was really just a bunch of villages that just happened to be right overlapping with each other, you know? Yeah. And that whole concept is important. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just to touch on it, like some of the like the rise of industrialization compacted a lot of people. Like people were just packed into these buildings unhealthily, right? All the tenement housing and all the vision of the city as sick and just a wasteland of you know, trash and crime and shit came from overcrowding people in these very small areas, and you know, basically just trying to make a buck off of them. Like, let's pack them in here. We need bodies to work. 5-year-olds, you know, anybody get in this factory and produce shit. Yeah, it's just pure unregulated capitalism that was kind of taking advantage of a lot of people. So then, you know, the pushback was maybe don't cram 4 families into 1 room. You know, let's maybe not do that. Let's maybe not send, you know, 3-year-olds to go work in the factory as a machinist. You know, let's maybe not do that.
But they have good tiny fingers.
Yeah. Let's maybe give everybody, you know, 2 days off, the weekend, right? So they can enjoy it. And then once you had a weekend and everybody's making money, they're like, well, let's – maybe we need some greenery in these areas. And they started putting parks and shit. So all that came as a response to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and so, like, you're right. I think there's – you can look up, like, the neighborhood unit. Del, as you were talking about, like the value of having a neighborhood park and something close by. We were talking about villages. A village had everything that you needed close by within walking distance because walking or maybe on horse was the primary mode of transportation. So, you know, you didn't think, like, how should I get to the grocery store? Let me hop in my helicopter. You know, that's then we had that. You're like, I gotta walk. I don't want to walk 40 miles. 5-10 minutes. Like, yeah, 5-10 minutes is about the distance that you're willing to comfortably walk and carry things, right? I mean, walked over there to the general store, get this bag of grain. I don't know what the fuck you bought at the general store. A rope, you know, and
anything, everything.
Yeah, and then you know, walk back. It's not something you wanted to do a whole lot, so you want it to be relatively close, yeah, or whatever.
Or you would take your carriage and you would travel. If you're a farmer or whatever, you go into town and buy everything you need for the next 4 months and bring it back to your storehouse. I was thinking, and when you said industrialization, it really started to hit me, like the Great Gatsby, like the romanticization of like the moving out of town and what became suburbia was really begun by kind of the rich living on the outskirts with a lot of land, but they would go to town to have fun, but they didn't have to live and do daily lives. They did their thing, no, and they had all their groceries delivered, and they had somebody cook it for them, and they had all that stuff. And so there was no like loss there of like community. Yeah. All they did was community. That was their whole lives. They were socialites and had money from the oil industry or whatever industry, the rail industry, and lived out in the country but had parties nonstop, you know?
Yeah, isn't it kind of disgusting how much we try to live like the rich people that we see in magazines and shit?
Nuts.
Like, you think about like a cocktail party and you think you got to wear like a tuxedo. Like, why? Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's not part of my daily life. I don't... Yeah, I always kind of rage at this to see people walking in down here where I live. They're all kind of dressed up and whatever. Like, you guys just look like you're in costumes. Like, the majority of you guys, you know, like, work at Best Buy or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you had to go look up how to tie the tie and shit online.
Yeah.
To play, to do whatever you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, just just enjoy the level of the class level you're at. You know what I mean? Like, you're just a bunch of broke people. Just celebrate like you're broke. Just throw a party. When you think of a party, like the last 10 parties you've been to, how were they? You know, like, well, we had people over, we had a couple beers. You know, I don't know, we played poker or something. I don't know, whatever you did. Like, do that. Do that for those special events. Like, we got married and then we had to all look up how to have a dinner, a social dinner. I mean, like, that's weird. You're just playing at, I don't know, like you said, trying to be the Great Gatsby. God, it seemed fucking cool. It seemed like they were having a lot of fun. Actually, they weren't. Yeah. The whole thing was that everybody's disappointed with their lives in the, the Great Gatsby.
Exactly.
I feel like you didn't read the book.
I was in a discussion with somebody about how awful millennials were last week. This person was like, I mean, millennials are just the worst. Like, everything's fucking terrible. So I was like, I mean, some things are not awesome. But I mean, the main contention was that how millennials are causing this, like, segmentation in the workplace and, like, this new sort of ideal about, like, how to cater to talent and how to recruit talent and how to, like, structure your workplace a little bit more casually or, like, differently to accommodate this generation is frustrating. And to me, it's like, man, it's really not that big a deal. But it's also, it's just an adaptation, like you said, of somebody actually living their lives.
Yeah.
As opposed to adhering to this old world norm. Like, it's,
yeah, I think
it's actually better for you too. Like, if you just chill out, it'd be all right. You're not, aren't toxic. You're not.
Yeah, if you watch like Mad Men and you, if you're like, wow, things were better back then, I think you're kind of missing the point with some of the episodes. It was contrasting, like things were a little bit more formalized and they were also going through a period of upheaval. They're like, oh shit, minorities, like, well, the black people and women were getting more rights and everybody was reacting to that and didn't know exactly what to do. And some of them were seeing the value in it, like the upending of the old social order. And some people took it hard. They're like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You know, this is awful. But a lot of people saw like, oh man, it was great to have sexism in the workplace and cocktail dresses. That was better. Like, it's not really the point. Like, God, you know what? Mad Men really told me that we should be able to smoke at work. It's like, no, that's not really.
No.
Yeah. yeah, it's like, so yeah, Brad, you're right. There's a lot of, you realize that everybody's telling you at work all the time, like, fuck your social life. It's all about going to work. You're just like a cog, right? And you're like, you know, I'd kind of just like to enjoy my life as I'm living it and not be like all these other people, my father, my grandfather, you know, told me like, yeah, you know, maybe I wouldn't work so hard. Maybe I would have played with the kids a little bit more.
That's all. Possibly even not only like enjoy it, but really relish like the position of it too. As opposed to having this like sight of upward mobility,
right?
Like, the focus of your life, like even if it's like complete mediocrity, just be like, dude, I love it.
It's my sister,
such good mediocrity.
My sister just posted an article on Facebook a couple hours ago that was, the title was, "What if I just want to be mediocre?" And I was like, yes. Like, what if I'm okay with simplicity? And
yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing about, you know, I was watching and reading a bunch of NBA articles about, like, these teams are like, well, should the Clippers blow it up? You know, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not good enough to win an NBA title. And, you know, so the only way to actually reach that goal is to tank. They need to tank and, you know, get rid of all their players and start all over from scratch. And I think what they're missing is like that there's value in being just a decent NBA team to try to win and not being good enough. And I think because we have all this, like, it's you're either first or you're last. And that's, I mean, you know, I don't want to sound like a dirty commie here, but that's kind of the problem with one of the problems with capitalism. Like, we lionize the winners, right? Mm-hmm. The Rockefellers, and we kind of look down on the poor people, but we don't really care about the people in the middle.
Right.
Like, it's okay to be just regular.
Yeah.
You kind of need to be just regular.
Man, what if there were regions, like region, I don't know how I'm saying this. I'm basically talking about relegation, but like for sports, like, okay, this team is kind of stuck where they're at. They're not going to do any better, but while they're not playing, there's still like local rivalries they can play and win or lose and get replaced. And then these teams compete to like go play on the other national teams, you know, and whatever. It's basically relegation. Never mind.
Yeah, it's kind of right. It's like, you know, I was thinking about like going to play direct. Like, I'm not going to beat LeBron James in basketball. You know what I mean?
Disagree.
Yeah. So then, you know, I go have fun when I go play a rec league with people at my skill level. You know what I mean? Like, that's fun. And I have a good time doing that. And it feels great. So I think having enough levels or, you know, like the stratification, so that way everybody can find your speed, your level where you feel challenged, but also, you know, content right there. Like, you're not, we don't throw you. And I think this is kind of the problem with globalization, is it put the entire world in competition with each other, and everybody feels like out of depth. They're like, oh shit, I'm competing directly with LeBron James, you know what I mean, and this other guy, and this other person. Like, what happened to just being able to compete with people at my level? And there should be some systemic kind of things in place that kind of catch you there, and that's what like the social safety nets are supposed to be. Like, all right, you tried, you fell off the rope, and we caught you. Let's put you back here, somewhere on your feet, so you can kind of get going again. And not, I tripped up, and now I am going to be homeless for the rest of my days. You know, or you know, didn't quite complete complete my graduate degree, and now we'll be in debtor's prison for the rest of my life. You know,
so, right?
Or
yeah,
or like we were talking about previously. I chose the wrong field, I guessed wrong, and now my degree is worthless and everybody hates me. Like, that shouldn't kind of be, I mean, it's like all or nothing, and I know some people are like, yes, it's, you know, survival of the fittest and shit. Like, okay, but it doesn't need to be all the way, full on, all the way like that.
I think that sort of plays into what we were talking about a minute ago, though, about, like, having these aspirations of like rich people, because like something that I think I have seen consistently, like on social media, on magazine covers, which I'm not into rich people. I'm not into them. People that like taste it or like I don't follow. I don't even know who like the socialite is right now, but I don't follow like that person on Twitter.
So you're like a rebellious billionaire. Like, you go party with your own butlers.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. I'm basically Bruce Wayne. Whenever I see stuff that comes through on my Facebook feed from other people, a lot of it's like really reprehensible crap about how like you should stop being poor. And that's like what a lot of like rich, cool, you know, air quotes, cool people were talking about. And there's pouring, you know, bottles of champagne all over themselves and all over their Lamborghinis and stuff like that. Like, you can't, I mean, why would you want to aspire to be hateful to one of these people that happen to befall one of these fates, like about choosing the wrong profession or about being in debt because of school, about any of that stuff? I mean, why do you want to do that? I just don't get it.
So you can go to the fire festival, bro.
Yeah. Luxury, yeah. You know what I mean? So Dell's referring to Ja Rule just completely inadvertently owning rich kids on Instagram. Like, all this thing was
so awesome.
So Fire Festival was supposed to be, it's like totally capitalizing on the festival craze, right? I think I'm glad we went to Lollapalooza. I don't ever want to go again, really, because it's like expensive, and it's just kind of corporatized, you know what I mean? Like, they're just trying to, they're professionals at extracting my money from my wallet now. And I don't feel like I'm getting value in return. But now it's just like everybody's going there, taking pictures, and looking cool, right? They're like, look at me, I'm young, better than you. Also, I got VIP passes all the way to backstage. Whatever, and you're just like, you know, it doesn't seem like what it was. And I know I sound like a dirty hippie, you know, talking about like festivals and shit. But so Fire Festival was like, Ja Rule and some billionaire bro were like, let's have this in the Bahamas, like totally luxury it out, right? Like, you have a private tent, you stay there for a week, two weekends. the best food, the best accommodations. It's going to be great, right? And they paid a bunch of Instagram models to frolic on the beach and pretend like they were going to be there. And they're like, yeah, tickets are like, they range from like $1,200 to like $250,000 or something like that. $25,000.
Something like that, yeah. $250,000.
Yeah, it's basically like rent payment to buying a car outright. You know what I mean? Like it's, you could do that or you could go to Fyre Festival. So people went, it was poorly planned, and they were acting like they were dying, but it was more just.
Beyond poorly planned, like not planned. Like, yeah. Not finished.
Yeah.
like not implemented.
Nowhere.
Yeah, I think if there's, like, a, like the cliche new money billionaire attitude is, I can do it. I'll just, you know, we'll just make it happen, right? And that's fine. And that, you know, obviously it's, like, the attitude that got them to the position that they're in now, or at least they think so. But I think what a lot of people run into is like, they're like, holy shit, I'm out of my depth. I don't understand how things work. You know what I mean? And if there was ever, and here I am going to sound like fucking awful. If there was any value to like generational wealth, and in the upper class, is that like these values were kind of passed down? Like, this is how you plan a party. This is how you have a social gathering. This is how you do these kinds of things. And so when you just have some middle-class kid that all of a sudden became a billionaire, like, he just kind of, you know, he's basically going into these things the way he used to go into Toys R Us. I'm like, I want everything. Give me the Super Soaker. Give me the, you know, like, he's doing that. They're like, isn't that be great? Fucking, you know, we're going to have all my favorite bands and luxury all the way. And I think one guy said, let's just fucking do it and be legends, bro. High five. Yeah. They were. They did it, and they are legends now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's a true story.
And it was hilarious. Just, they were like, oh, my God, they're just doing their luggage on the beach. They're just dumping it out. People are getting robbed, which is, it's not funny. Like, nobody really is excited about people getting robbed, except if it's rich people who can stand to lose, like,
right,
an iPhone or nine. You know what I mean?
It's funny.
Like, dude. I don't want to die, but I think getting robbed is actually really hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
And the food that they had to deal with, and the places where they had to sleep.
Yeah, the luxury food, or the gourmet food, was literally cheese in between two pieces of bread, and like a tomato slice. Dude, I would not go to the first anything. I don't even like buying the first new generation of iPhone, because I'm like, there's gonna be something wrong with it. The new iPhone 7, they gotta work out some kinks.
I went to the first Bonnaroo. I think it was the first Bonnaroo, maybe in the second.
Were you accosted?
No, but it was a completely different thing. You know, it was just people coming to listen to music. People coming to listen to music, and there was no pretense about it. But it was kind of the impetus for the festival craze that everybody else tried to start capitalizing on. Bonnaroo and Austin City Limits were kind of the two.
I mean, wasn't Lollapalooza in like 92, 91?
It was, but wasn't Lollapalooza more of like a tour, like a...
It was less. It did that, and then there was also a Lollapalooza tour that it would like kick off. It would like, there would be the one, it would like kick it off.
Like, that wasn't, to me, that didn't, I was like, I wasn't ever like, oh, that's a music festival. I was like, oh, that's a touring group of like a day show or 2 day show, you know?
We went to ACL and it's still fun, but I was thinking about it. I think a lot of the fun comes from the fact that I'm outside.
Yeah.
So I just disconnected my headset. A lot of the fun comes from the fact that I'm outside in a public park. Like, Lollapalooza is in Grant Park in Chicago, which is a great park. You can go there on a Saturday and hang out and you're like, and drink a beer. And you're like, you know what? This is fucking cool. And it didn't cost you $400 to be there. And ACL is at, I forget the park it's there, but it's a great park to go to, just hang out and just be there at. You know what I mean? There's Maverick Music Festival here in San Antonio. They're trying to get that going. It's at Hemisphere Park, and it's a cool park. You just go there on Saturday and hang out and have a picnic, right? And so I think some of that is just the fact that you're just kind of outside. You're like, no, I don't really do anything. But now I just flew in to Chicago and stayed for 3 days. That's not to say that they are so fun. You know, you go to see live music. Live music is always great, especially a band that you want to see, especially with people you want to be with. It's all a good time. I think there's a point, though, where it's, like, not worth it, and that's maybe at $25,000.
Yeah. I think it is far shy of that. And I think, I mean, especially now in my life, like, with kids, not interested.
So, you know what?
It's hot, and they get dehydrated, and they get whiny, and they ain't having fun. And if they ain't having fun, you ain't having fun.
Yeah. I mean, kids... The good thing about kids is that they're easily entertained. The bad thing about kids is that they're easily entertained. You know what I mean? Like, they don't see the value in going to see your favorite band at ACL that costs, you know, whatever, $200. Because right. They're like, they're playing with the trash. And you're like, that's, look, could you see, look, you know, that's one of my favorite musicians. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, oh, that's, a, you know, that's a discarded, you know, like a tampon there. What are you doing, kid? You know, Del, you were gonna say something.
I don't remember. I lost it.
Was it about how you are you still like going to festivals?
Oh, I don't know. I don't enjoy necessarily going to Bonnaroo or whatever anymore. But Austin Sea Limits is all right because you can go be in the culture during the day and you can leave and go do something else. You know, Bonnaroo, you're like there for 4 days.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. I don't know.
Yeah,
like paying $25,000 to do that kind of stuff is only to say that you were there. That's the only reason. Yeah. They didn't even have good groups, man. Blink 182 and Major Lazer.
That doesn't make you
those were the only two. Right, those are the only two bands that were named that I even heard of.
I mean, Migos is there, but you can see them on tour, like, who? Literally, and anyway, just, it's a rap group. I think a lot of it is that, like, they sold it as, like, look at this luxury, you're on the beach, you get to live like you're not, you know what I mean, you live like you're rich and famous, whatever, that's what they're selling. You know, to your point, like, I don't ever want to go to Coachella. Like, unless I am rich enough to get a private plane there in a private pavilion, you know, that is maybe cool. But I liked Lollapalooza largely because you get to go to Chicago, and it's really good. Yeah. You're going to hang out in Chicago for a day before, day after, and then also enjoy some music.
Yeah.
Like, that was a fun part for me. And then, you know, Austin City Limits is like, you get to go to Austin for a little bit, you know, hang out in Austin. Mm-hmm. Eat some barbecue or, you know, the taco thing in Austin because I think they're inferior to San Antonio, so it doesn't really draw me in. But
it's also a good way to be exposed to a lot of bands.
Yeah.
You know, in a a risk-free sort of environment.
Yeah, because you can be like, let me go over here and check out these four bands, you know, the small ones, mm-hmm. small indie ones.
Especially during the day. During the day, you get such good results just walking around.
Yeah, because you can walk around. Later on, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're like stepping over drunk kids the rest of the time. Yeah, I think that's I was laughing at Fyre Festival. They said they're going to refund everybody's money. I mean, the whole problem with it is like people were like, that's it, I'm leaving. But you couldn't because like it's not a giant airport there in the Bahamas. So they had to cancel flights with people getting ready to go there so that way they could take people back. So they were sending empty planes to the Bahamas to take people out. They said they refunded everybody's money and that anybody that came this year gets to go next year. So you didn't miss your chance, guys. I think
I can still do it. I can still make it.
Yeah. I think one of the chicks that was hired to do, like, to produce it, wrote a thing in New York Magazine or something like that, and she was saying that it seemed completely poorly planned when she was, like, hired for it a couple weeks, and she was like, yeah, they didn't have, like, the basics down. She's like, all right, well, who is this person? They're like, who? What? I don't know. That's always terrible.
She was the one that said that they were like, let's just, she was like, I don't think that we can make this happen. He's like, or we could just make it happen and be legends. Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
It was such a couple of funny days. I just ate it up, man. I loved reading those articles and seeing the pictures. Oh my gosh, just man.
Thirsty people on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, like I said, it's a little bit like a little bit of Robin Hood there, Robin from the Bridge, you know what I mean? And you can see people come up and, as, mm-hmm. you know, because the days before they were like flaunting their rich kids of Instagram lifestyle, and now they're like, oh man, I'm having to eat bread. Mm-hmm. Speaking of money wasting, I bought the Canelo Alvarez Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight. And,
how'd that go?
Well, the dude Chavez got his ass whooped, and it was largely disappointing. But, I mean, I was entertained, and I've never bought the fight. I've never been the guy to buy the fight. It's another marker of adulthood for me. Like, I remember going, like, to my uncle's friend's house, like, on various occasions when they're like, oh, we bought the fight, the Mike Tyson fight, or whatever fight it was.
Yeah.
And everybody was over there. We're all watching the fight. It was, like, a big to-do. Like, boxing's not nearly as popular as it once was, and so...
Oh.
Like, yeah, so I think that also is why the end of this fight was kind of ridiculous. It reminded me very much of wrestling, you know, like WWE or old WWF. Immediately after the fight, well, they're like, dude, you lost. He's like, yeah, well, you know, and whatever. And they're like, and now let's go over there. And they show the other guy, Golovkin, come out, like apparently the middleweight champ. And he was like at the fight and sitting in the front row. And he's, like, walking down the aisle, and they have the spotlight, and he goes into the ring. Then he, like, shakes hands with him. He's like, oh, it was a good fight. You fought real good. You know, like, none of them speak English. And and then they're like, well, Canelo, do you have anything to say to him? He's like, you next, my friend. And they immediately pan up to the big screen where they have a hype video for the fight in September. They're like, there's, like, Canelo Golovkin, September 16th. I was like, what the fuck are we watching? They immediately just got to the next one. They're like, all right, you're done now. The next fight. Everybody, like, it's supposed to hype everybody up. But it all seemed very show WWE. Business. Yeah, it's like, this is just a little bit too shameless, you know? It's almost like Donald Trump is president.
Yeah, I think boxing, and actually, now that you mentioned that, golf. Sort of like on the wayside, you know, like you and your 18 golf courses. I mean, like, who can afford it? Like, who cares that much to go to a boxing match? Because I mean, that's the thing. Like, going to a boxing match, it's got to be thousands of dollars to get in there.
Yeah, I mean,
and I don't really care. I can just throw a 20 out on a street corner and watch hobos fight over. If I'm really that concerned, right?
I think, yeah, like boxing as the sport of the people, and I don't think it really captures anybody's imagination anymore.
No,
I mean, it like is long past its time. I mean, 100 years ago, boxing and horse racing, like this weekend would have been a great weekend, like a prize fight and the Kentucky Derby. But now I was like, oh yeah, so who won the horse race? And it's just like, again, it's a big costume party. People like to go and dress up and pretend like they care about bourbon and hats. And they don't. Nobody cares about bourbon and hats or bow ties. But they did this weekend just because they wanted to pretend.
I do like bow ties.
I like bourbon. But, I mean, they don't. The generally, people don't care about it.
But nobody cares about hats. Like, we can all agree that, like, nobody's a professional haberdasher anymore.
Yeah,
like,
you know why? Because we have air-conditioned cars. Well, we have cars. Air-conditioned cars and air-conditioned home. So nobody's outside walking. You don't need a hat to protect you from the sun or the elements anymore. So that's why nobody wears hats. I say most people go out wearing, like, looking like they're in their pajamas generally because you can, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you had to exist out in the elements, you'd wear more hardy clothing, like something that was, you know, that you could wear all day and it could protect you from the cold and the heat and all that stuff.
But like something that a construction worker wears.
Yeah. You see them, like, they look like they're wearing a lot of clothes. And you're like, it's hot as fuck. They're like, yeah, I don't want to get beat down by the sun all day, so I'm wearing three layers. Like, that doesn't work. They're like, well, you're not out here working, buddy. You know? You don't know. I'm like, all right, you're right. I don't know. I told you guys, right, when we drove through California and there was the strawberry pickers, they're out there picking strawberries and shit. I was like, God, that looks like it's awful fucking work.
Man, it was, I do not see anybody who's out there, like, working full-time outside. I mean, okay, so I'm in the middle of this project in my backyard building an outdoor, not an outdoor kitchen, because I just have a grill, but it's going to have, like, a little bar where you can sit at and stuff like that. And so I'm dabbling in, like, concrete and cinder block and masonry and stuff like that. And I laid a tiny, by industrial standards, tiny piece of concrete.
Minuscule, like,
13 feet by, like, 3 feet or something like that. I thought I was going to die. I mean, like, it's so much weight. It's so much concrete, man. And, like, I literally, you couldn't even pave a driveway. You couldn't pave a sidewalk for the amount of concrete that I had out there. And I felt like I was going to die, man. It's so crazy how much hard work it is.
Yeah, then, you know.
And dudes do that for a living.
Yeah, and then when you see them out there kind of taking a break and people are like, oh, look at this guy just taking a breather. Like, yeah.
Loafing.
As you drive by in your air-conditioned leather seats. Like, right. Look at that guy loafing, man. Right. Ah, we're awful. I mean, yeah, that's fucking hard-ass work. I mean, like I said, I am very grateful for my position in life, and I know I complain a lot, but I acknowledge that I'm vastly more privileged than, you know, even like three generations of my family ago. So I feel like I'm living a good life for them because I'm sure they were like, fuck, this is hard as fucking work. I hope my grandkids don't have to do this. I'm like, this is for you, Grandpa. You know, you're out there picking fucking strawberries and shit. I'm sitting on my ass for you, great grandpa. This is why.
I'm 2K over here.
Yeah.
Sipping bourbon.
I mean, yeah, it was like my grandfather, like, he's kind of hard of hearing a little bit because he was, like, he worked in, like, a GM factory, you know what I mean? And even he had it better than, like, 30, 40 years before him when they were, like, had no protections, you know what I mean? Back when they're like, oh, you lost a finger? Well, you're fucking fired, buddy, you know? Get the next guy in here. So, you know, they were looking at my grandfather like, what the fuck, you lost your hearing? I don't have a fucking hand, you know? Lost it when I was 7 years old working this GM plant. God. So we ran
up. What do you have on tap for the summer, Dell? Are you going to be teaching this summer?
No, I'm not. I may go spend some time with a friend of my dad who records music out in Tahoe.
What?
He invited me to come stay out there with him and lay some tracks down. So I may go do that for a couple of weeks. We'll see.
I don't like Dell's free life. I'm just going to go spend a summer in Tahoe a little bit, strumming on the guitar, you know?
All you got to do is give everything in your life up, man. Have nothing.
Sometimes, you know. Yeah, that's cool. You got to let us know how that goes.
Yeah, well, if I end up going, I don't know. I would love to get a tour. I don't know if I want
to. Dell on tour. I mean, how much does it cost? I can kick in $2 towards your getting bus out fare.
There. Yeah.
No, I mean, you get on the Greyhound, man.
Easy to get out there. I will never take a bus anywhere.
Nope. No. Never.
Absolutely. You sound like the Fire Festival people right now.
Oh, my gosh, man. I tried it. That's the thing. It has nothing to do with the people on the bus. It has just the general experience. It's just not enjoyable.
It's pretty tough.
Yeah, I was watching Fences, and then, you know, Denzel Washington talking about it. So then I walked, you know, like 200 miles. I was like, Dad, you didn't walk no 200 miles. He's like, yeah. What'd you think I did? You know, like, there were no cars or nothing back then. I walked 200 miles to wherever, to Baton Rouge, wherever you said. You can walk, Dell.
I would rather walk Tahoe than ride on a bus.
Bike your way through it, man. You'll be like, You'll be like 122 pounds by the time you get out to Tahoe.
Yeah.
And also, and summer will be over. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man. That's cool. Brad, I guess your plans for the summer, you're just going to pretty much stay there, huh?
Yep. Continue to just live in a box. That's it, man.
You get to paint your box maybe if you want. I mean, you put a grill out there. Look at you.
Oh, constructing. I'm
in, well, that too. But, you know, you go home to your outdoor kitchen now. Your ode to the ancestors who, while they were cooking outside, trying to avoid, you know, fucking beasts of the earth, they're like, man, wouldn't it be great if we could cook inside?
I wouldn't even this thing. But Lauren, 5 years ago, bought me a grill.
Yeah.
I don't grill, but I have one now. And it's one of these that, like,
that was a hint, goes, Dave.
Goes on a built-in thing, you know? And so I was like, why did you buy this? And she was like, because it's a cool, you know, grill. And I thought it was a nice present. I was like, yeah, it's a good present. Okay. You know?
That's what you call a white elephant gift, you know? It's more trouble than it's worth.
So, yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it is. So, finally, and I've been toting it around everywhere because I've moved twice since I got it. So, we got out here, and a friend of my brother's is a contractor, and he was like, he came over and he gave me a quote. He's like, I can build this for you. It'd probably be like $5,500. And I was like, nope. Can't afford that. Cannot afford that at all. So I'm just building it myself, and it ain't that expensive.
How much have you spent on it? How much does concrete cost? Not expensive, is it?
No. So far, I think I bought some pretty, what I think is pretty expensive, like stone veneer to go on the front of it. And so far, I'm in like $650.
It's not bad at all.
I mean, I think all told, after I like hire out the plumber to run a gas line and everything, it's probably gonna be around $1,000.
That's not bad.
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty expensive, but I mean, it gets it off of the plate, you know. Like,
if you use it, it'll be worth it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go see this end of the summer.
I would if I ever had it, you know. But
yeah,
I'm gonna go where they already have it built in to one of the local parks. Yeah, it's fucking built in already. I'm just gonna go use it, and then I'm gonna leave. And I'm gonna be fucking done with it.
Yeah, don't even worry about cleaning it up, really, or anything.
I think I will have used it one more time than you've used yours.
Exactly. Yeah, you're gonna get yours done just in time for it to be way too damn hot to be cooking out.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. Is that like that's the cool? Because I would do the same thing, right? People do that. They're like, oh, like, what if let's build like a play place in the backyard? See, constructing shit. And they have professional people doing it, like, literally 3 miles away from you, brand fucking new, you know, state-of-the-art, and there's nobody there using it. You can just take your kids.
Free.
You can use it. Done. Yep. Just walk home. You're like, done. Everything's fine. And you can have space in your backyard. It didn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
It's things like that. Like, I understand that. I understand wanting to be at home. I mean, I buy books. I can go to the library and read them. I get it. But, I mean, there's things like that you can probably take advantage of. Like, people with the pool, go to a public pool. It's right there.
Yeah.
Like, it's more fun. You just go and you're like, yeah, this is not costing me a lot of money to clean up and think about the chlorine levels and all that. You can just enjoy it. Yeah. Like, yeah, the pool. All right, we've been here an hour. Let's go get some hot dogs. And then you leave.
You don't have to worry about your kid drowning. You don't have to worry about
it. They got a 17-year-old watching it to make sure he's safe. Yeah. Like, he showed up today.
B plus. B Somebody plus. Died. B minus.
So, good times, guys.
What are you doing this summer?
Me? We're going to be playing soccer. That's what we're going to be doing. We already had our first practice. Well, we had our first round of the, like, we had, the first part was like OTAs. This would be like training camp, and only one person showed up for training camp. I mean, it's kind of a tough time. It's kind of a tough time because like last week was like the end of Fiesta, sort of, and then next week is like Mother's Day, so nobody's gonna be able to show up for that. And following week, and Gene and I are going to try to go to the beach, what amounts to a beach here in Texas, and like touch the ocean and go back to the safety of central Texas, I guess. And then, you know, like after everyone play soccer, we'll see how that goes. Mostly we're just trying not to be hurt because we're at that age. We're not thinking about scoring amazing goals. We're just like, can we run and compete without twisting a knee? You know, can that be accomplished? yeah. And then like, so the thing that we didn't do last year because we had the kid, we're going to try to have like the big barbecue. Like 2 years ago, we invited all our friends and family. We had a decent enough turnout considering it was raining and everybody thought that it was going to be flooded downtown. Like 20, 25 people showed up. But yeah, we're going to have a little barbecue out. We rented a spot at the local park. We're going to have people out there and see what happens. Cool. Have a little barbecue and enjoy the out of doors.
Cool.
Yeah. Good time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Drain Spangle Podcast. For Brad. Brad, say bye.
Say bye.
Say bye. Dell?
Goodbye.
Wish everybody later. A good evening.
I wish you all a good evening.
That's quality. Yeah, that's fine. It's not warm. I mean, you can be the patriarch. Did you apply to be the patriarch of your family? Like, look at this warm and inviting.
I'm the pocket patriarch. Nobody knows.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're done.